Today's Amud is Beitza Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We're holding on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph by the last line, by the two dots, Ve'en Chaytchen Es Apsila L'Shnayim. So we mentioned in the Mishnah that the Shita of the Tanakama is that you're not allowed to cut a wick on Yom Tov. If let's say a person has a wick that's very long, he would prefer to have shorter wicks. You're not allowed to cut the wicks into two pieces on Yom Tov. However, we had in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda said that it's mutter if you do it ba'ar. That choytchen ba'ar. We said ve'ein choytchen es apsila. But then Rabbi Yehuda aimer, choytcha ba'ar, you could take a fire and you could use the fire to cut the wicks. So now ask the Gemara, Maishna besakin delay. You see that even Rabbi Yehuda who holds that machshiri eichel nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov, and typically you're allowed to do malacha on something which is just going to then allow you to have the eichel nefesh. Even still, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not allowed to cut a wick with a knife on Yom Tov. So now Maishna besakin delay, why is it that even Rabbi Yehuda holds, even he agrees, that you're not allowed to cut a wick into half? The kamisakin mana, the problem is because of tikkun mana. Meaning, you see from this Gemara, that even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows machshiri eichel nefesh, you're not allowed to make a kli on Yom Tov. Even though technically it seems like it fits with all the rules, it fits with all the klalim, it's machshiri eichel nefesh, maybe it's in a case even where it's efsher from erev Yom Tov. Doesn't matter. There's no such thing as making a kli on Yom Tov, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says you can't take a knife and cut the wick. Well, then ask the Gemara, bo'ar nami kamisakin mana. So then what's the difference if you do it with a knife or if you do it with a fire? Why does it make it better now that you're doing it with a fire, that you're going to use the fire to cut the wick in half? So says the Gemara, Tani Reb Chiya explained that chaydcha ba'ar befi shtei neiris, that when Rabbi Yehuda says you could cut it with a fire, he doesn't just mean you take a fire and you cut the candle in half. What he means to say is that what you do is you have two bowls with oil, and they're next to each other, and you put the wick, that one end of this long wick goes into one bowl, and the other end goes into the other bowl. Then you take a fire, and you light it in the middle of the wick. And like that, it will now naturally turn into two different wicks. The advantage of doing it like this is that now it's like misasik. So I saw Rav Liashiv explains that really, this is not so much, it's not really tikkun mana. It's like a nirik a tikkun mana. It's nirik a misakin mana. And therefore, in this type of situation where you do it in a derech of misasik, where you're just lighting the candles, and oh, what do you know, now it just turned into two wicks, so now it doesn't have the appearance of tikkun mana. Like Rashi over here explains that it's no longer nirik misakin when you do it in this way, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda held that it was mutter to cut the wick in this type of fashion. Amar Rav Nosson bar Abba Amar Rav. Rav Nosson bar Abba said in the name of Rav that meichatin es apsila b'yamtif, that you're allowed to be meichatin es apsila. So says the Gemara, my meichatin. What does it mean to be meichatin es apsila? Amar Rav Chanina bar Shlamya. What it means to be meichten means to trim the wick, which means that there are some black burnt parts of the wick on the top. And so said Rav Nosson bar Abba that you're allowed to take off that black part. It's not considered tikkun mana. It's not considered tikkun kli to take off the black part of the wick. Tani bar Kapara. Bar Kapara taught that shisha dvarim nemru b'psila. There are six different halachas that we have about a psila, about a wick on Yom Tov. Shleisha lahachmir u'shleisha lahakol. Three of them you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, and three of them are lakula that you are allowed to do on Yom Tov. So first, the three lahachmir. There's three things that you're not allowed to do. Number one is ein goyd l'naisa l'chadchila b'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to make a wick. You can't take smaller strands and twist it and make it into a wick. And the reason for that, the Meiri explains, is because it's tikkun mana. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's long enough, it's also going to be a problem of taiva. Of spinning is one of the lametas malachis. So that would be another issue with making a wick in this way. But even if it's a small wick that doesn't have a shear of taiva, it's still going to be a problem of tikkun mana. So you're not allowed to twist the wick and make that on Yom Tov. Number two, lahachmir, is that ve'ein mivhavivin aisa ba'ar, that you're not allowed to singe it with fire. If you want to singe to take off the loose strands at the top of the wick, and it makes it easier to now light. So that's a problem, the Beis Yosef says in Siman Tuf Kuf Yudalot, it's a problem of tikkun mana. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Number three, that's lahachmer, is ve'ein chayt chinoisa l'shnayim, that you're not allowed to cut it in half. You can't cut the wick to make it smaller. That we've already mentioned before is a problem of tikkun mana. Lahakel, then we said that there are three things about a wick that are lakula, that are mutter on yamtif. So number one is bemacha biyad, that you're allowed to press it with your hand to make it thinner. If let's say you have a wick that's very thick and it doesn't fit into the nair, so you want to make it smaller, so you want to press it together to make it smaller, that's not a problem of tikkun mana, that's going to be mutter. The second case, that's lakula, is that v'shayra b'shemen, that you could soak it in oil in order to make it easier to light, also not a problem of tikkun mana. And the number three is v'chayt chavu'ar b'fishtei neiris, is that, like we mentioned before, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to cut it with fire by doing it in a derech of misasik. You could trim the wick, you could make it smaller by putting it into two bowls and using the fire to cut the wick. V'amrav nasim bar abba amai rav. So now this is going to be a little bit off topic, but now that we mentioned from the third line from the top, we mentioned a statement from Rav Nasan bar Abba Amar Rav. Over there we mentioned that you're allowed to be meichten es apsila b'yamtiv, that you could take off the burnt part at the top of the wick. So once we mentioned Rav Nasan bar Abba Amar Rav, so now the Gemara says another statement from Rav Nasan bar Abba Amar Rav. Now says the Gemara, V'am Rav Nasan bar Abba Amar Rav, that atirei bavel Yardi Gehenim. The rich people in Bavel, so they're gonna inherit and they're gonna go to Gehenim. Now that's a very intense statement. So why did he say that? Kihadish Absoi Bar Marinos. It's because they have a mentality like you see from the story with Shabsoi Bar Marinos. Now Iklola Bavel, this Shabsoi, he went to Bavel. And Boim Minayu Iska, he asked them for some business, he asked them for Parnassah, they would give him a job. V'lo Yahavule, but they wouldn't give him a job. Mizoine, he asked them for some food. And Meizanami Lo Yzeinuhu, they wouldn't even give him food. So Amar, so he commented and he said, that Hani Me'erev Rav Ka'asu, that these wealthy people in Bavel, it must be that they really come from the Erev Rav. Dechsev, because it says about the Avos, V'nasan Lucha Rachmim V'richamcha. The Pasuk says that Hashem will have mercy on you, and then the Pasuk concludes, Kasher Nishba L'Avosecha, like Hashem swore to your fathers, to your forefathers, to the Avos. So we darshan this Smichos that Kolam Rachim Alabriyos, someone who has this Mida of Rachimim, Bi'adua Shehu Mizari Shel Avram Avinu. So you can know about him that he's a descendant of Avram Avinu. V'chol mi she'enoi Merachim Alabriyos, and anybody who doesn't have this trait of rachamim, he doesn't have mercy on other people. So biadua she'ene mizari shel Avram Avinu, you could tell about him that he's not from the offspring of Avram Avinu. And therefore, he was able to know from the fact that these atirei bavel, that they wouldn't give him a job, they wouldn't give him even some food. It must be that they were not from the zari shel Avram. It must be that they came from the Erev Rav. V'amar Rav Nasan bar Abba Amar Rav, another statement for Rav Nasan bar Abba in the name of Rav, that kol ha-mitzapeh al shulchan acherim, anybody who's dependent on the table of someone else, somebody who's poor and he relies on other people, so aylom chashich ba'adai, so he lives in a dark world. The dark world, he doesn't have his own, and he has to always come on to other people. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, noydeh hu lalechem ayayada kinachem biyada yoyim chayshach, that this person who doesn't have bread and he has to go to other people, so for him the day is like night. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista said another aspect of these types of people is that af chayav einan chayim, that their life is not a life. It's not a life that they have to always be dependent on other people. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa that shloisha chayehan einan chayim, that about three people it said that their life is not a real life. Ve'elu hein, and this is the list. One is hametzapel l'shulchan chaveri, like we just mentioned, someone who's dependent on other people. Number two, misha ishtay meishel esalav, somebody whose wife rules over him, perhaps she doesn't let him go learn. And number three is umishi yisurin meishlin begufay. The third is a person who is he's tons of yisurin, he has a lot of yisurin in his guf, and he has a lot of pains. So that's a chayim, that's not a chayim. Some have a fourth one, af mi she'en lo yelo chalok echad. Even a person who just he only has one shirt. A person only has one shirt, so he can never do the laundry. He's always going to have bugs on his shirt. It's going to be itchy, and that's not a life. But Tanakama, however, the Tanakama is chaylik. He says even this person who only has one shirt, So that means we see from the Braisa that the Braisa, the Tanakhama, said that there's only three people about who it says that their Chayim is not Chayim. And then we said the Yesh Oimrim, also this person who doesn't have a Cholot. So now the Gemara is asking, what about the Tanakhama? Why didn't he mention this fourth one? The Tanakhama, Efshar the Ma'ayim B'mane. Then he says, no, even if a person, he only has one shirt, and you'll say that, oh, he'll have bugs, he won't be able to do the laundry. It's not true. He'll be able to clean off the bugs. He'll look at the shirt and he'll be able to pick them off with his hands. And therefore, that one's not so bad. Says the Mishnah, Ein shayivrin es acheres, you're not allowed to break a piece of pottery. Ve'en chaytchin haniyar, and you're not allowed to rip up a piece of paper. Litzlois by maliach, in order to roast some salty fish on top of that cheres or on top of that paper. So the background to this is that they used to have this type of salty fish that they would, when they would grill it, so if they would put it directly on the grill, so the fish would just get burnt. It was very easily burnt. And so you have to have some sort of hefsik in between the grill and the fish. So sometimes they would use pottery, sometimes paper. The halacha is that you're not allowed to do these things. You're not allowed to, it's like making a kli. So you can't break a piece of pottery and you can't cut a piece of paper in order to do this, because that's making a kli. And like we said before, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says the mechshir reichon nefesh is mutter, so even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're not allowed to make a kli mamish, and therefore these things are going to be aser. Ve'ein garfin tanor v'kirayim. You're not allowed to take the clay out of the oven, which means that the ovens back in the day, in the times of Chazal, it used to be made from clay, and at times it would happen that some clay would get loose from the oven, and it would fall into the middle of the oven, and now when you wanted to put your food into the oven, you had this big block of clay in the middle of your oven, so you want to sweep it out. So says the Mishnah that no, you're not allowed to. The Rashi explains that this is because we're going according to the Rabbanon that Machshiri Eichon Nefesh is Aser on Yom Tov. So I guess this is not really Tikkun Kli, it's just that some, it's according to the Rabbanon that say Machshiri Eichon Nefesh is Aser on Yom Tov, and therefore you're not allowed to take out this block of clay that's in the oven. Aval Mechabshin, but you could press it down in order to make room, so you should be able to have room to put food into the oven. Says the Mishnah weiter, Ve'ein makifin shtei chavyos lishbeis alein es hakadera. You can't put two barrels, two kalim, next to the other, in order to then put fire in between and to put a kadera on top to act as a stand for the kadera. That you're not allowed to do, and we'll see more about that in the Gemara. Ve'ein saimchin es hakadera bebekas. You're not allowed to lean a kadera on a piece of wood. Wood, according to the Tan of our Mishnah, could only be used for a fire and for nothing else, just for a fire, and therefore you cannot use it to hold up your kadera. And we'll see more about this in the Gemara. V'chein bedeles, which we'll see in the Gemara what those words even mean, v'chein bedeles. V'ein manhigin asa behema b'mako, b'yamtiv. On yamtiv, you can't take a stick and use the stick to lead your behema, which again, we'll see more about that in the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar, Reb Shimon Matir, however, Rabbi Lazar, Reb Shimon, he said that it's mutter to use the stick to lead the animal. So now says the Gemara right away, my taima, going back to the first case of the Mishnah, that we said that you're not allowed to break the cheres, you can't cut the paper in order to use it as a kli, to roast, to grill the fish, we said you're not allowed to do that. So we explained already when we read the Mishnah, but now ask the Gemara, my time, what's wrong with cutting the piece of paper or pottery? So says the Gemara, mishum dekom misakin mana. The issue is because you're being misakin mana, and that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Ve'en garfin tanra v'kirayim, we said you can't sweep out the shovel out the clay, the block of clay that fell into the middle of the oven. So now says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Kamed Rav Nachman, that Ve'emi Efsher La'efais Elim Ken Garfoy Mutar. If it's going to be impossible for a person to bake inside of this oven because this block of clay is too high up, and if you put food on top, it's just going to get burnt from the top of the oven, it's going to hit the top of the oven, it's just going to all burn. So if you're not going to be able to use the oven otherwise, so then you are allowed to sweep out the clay. And Rashi says that that's only going according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that you have such a heter. According to the Chachamim, no matter what, Machshiri Eichon Nefesh is Asr on Yom Tov, there won't be any heter to take out the clay ever. But says Rashi, this heter that the Braisa is mentioning now, it's dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda that Machshiri Eichon Nefesh is mutter. Even Rabbi Yehuda is only matter if you need to. If you need to, if you're not going to be able to use the oven otherwise, so then you're allowed to shovel out this clay. Says the Gemara a couple stories. The Bisud Reb Chia, the wife of Reb Chia, Nafola Arecha Bitanura, she had a clay brick that fell into the middle of the oven, Biyoyma Tava on Yamtif. So Amar La, Reb Chia said to his wife, you saw, I guess she looked up in surprise, and she looked at Reb Chia, Kilu, to know what to do now. Reb Chia said to her, so Amar La, Reb Chia, Chazid Ana Rifta Mal Yasabina. You should know, I want to have good bread today. So basically, he was telling her, wink, wink, take the brick out, so that we should have good bread. It shouldn't be touching the oven. It shouldn't touch the walls of the oven and get burnt. Amar le Ravo le Shame, says the Gemara, another story, that Rava said to his Shamish, Tevei li bar avza, I want you to roast for me some goose meat, make for me some goose meat, v'izdaher mecharucha, and make sure it doesn't get burnt, meaning sweep out the oven so that the meat doesn't touch the walls of the oven and get burnt. He told his Shamish, make sure to make it that it doesn't get burnt, i.e. telling him to sweep out the oven. So again, you see from these Amarayim that they held, obviously like Rabbi Yehuda, that Shiri Eichel Nefesh is Mutra on Yamtiv, which is Taka the Halacha, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. It's a shayla of whether or not you're allowed to be Meirin Kain. According to the Ramah, Pashas, you're not allowed to be Meirin Kain ever for the whole entire heter of Machshir Eichel Nefesh. You can't teach the heter to others. But that the Ikar Lahalacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Machshir Eichel Nefesh is Mutra on Yamtiv. We'll conclude with one last story. Says the Gemara, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi. So Ravina confronted Rav Ashi, and he said to him that Amar lo an Rav Acha mihutzal. I heard from Rav Acha from Hutzal, demar sharkin le tanura biyimatava. I heard that you have your avodim; they make mud on Yamtif, and they use it to close up the gaps of the oven in order to make it that the heat of the oven stays inside and makes it extra hot. So you have your shamashim, you have your servants that they make this mud. They take dirt and they put in water and they make mud, and they use it to close up the gaps of the oven. I heard that they spread mud over the gaps of the oven on Yamtif. So now the problem with that is that mixing dirt with water is a isser of lush. So really Ravina was confronting Rav Ashi and telling him that I heard that you're doing something which seems to be usser. I hear you're having your servants do lush on Yom Tif. So, and I guess this is something which was efsher mi arav Yom Tif. And therefore he was asking him, so it's machshir eichel nefesh, it's efsher from arav Yom Tif. How are you allowed to do this? How are you allowed to have your servants make the mud? So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi responded to Ravina, Anon Arakto Defra Samchina. And no, I don't actually make the mud on Yom Tov. We live right by the banks of the Euphrates River, where over there, right by the shore, so there's soft mud. There's no need to mix water into the dirt to make mud. There already is mud right there by the riverbanks, and we use that mud. Now, says the Gemara though, Vahani Mili, this that you're allowed to use the mud that's by the riverbanks, it's only who did Saire me etmal. It's only if you make it that it's not muksa. So how do you make it that it's not muksa? You make a line and you designate it, you mark it off before Yom Tif that's the mud you're gonna use. And Amar Avinam, Ravina said, now that we're mentioning this, the halachas of Lash on Yom Tif, or Shabbos also technically, so Amar Ravina v'kitma shari, that to mix water into ashes, kitma is ashes, that's mutter, that completely doesn't make Lash, it's on a bar gibel, Rashi says, it doesn't really mix in, the water with the ashes doesn't really mix in, so that's not going to be an isra of Lash. So now we'll stop here, but it's just interesting, the Rishayim point out, that in this conversation with Ravina and Ravashi, so Ravina confronts Rav Ashi and he says to him, oh, I hear that you're having your avadim that they spread mud over the cracks of the oven, and like that, when they spread it over the cracks, so he was asking him, as you see from Rav Ashi's response, that it's good, that when, how are they allowed to make the mud on Yom Tif? So the focus was just on the Isra of Lush, that how were these avadim allowed to make mud on Yom Tif? The Rishonim point out that there seems to be another Isra involved with spreading the mud over the cracks of the oven, and that's the Isra of Mimareach. You're not allowed to spread something on Yom Tif, on Shabbos. So how were they allowed to spread the mud over the cracks? How were they allowed to close up the cracks of the oven? Okay, great. They got the mud. They already had the mud from before Yom Tif. They lived by the banks of the Nahar Pras. Fine. But what about Mimareach? So many Rishonim, what they answer, that when it comes to the Mimareach aspect of this, when it comes to Mimareach, that's something that was Eif Shemir of Yom Tif. Because if they would spread it over the cracks in Erev Yom Tif, eventually it would dry out and it would just fall off the cracks. So with regards to mimareach, there was a heter for eichol nefesh to do the mimareach on yamtiv. So in a chanami, there is a malacha mimareach going on in this case. However, there was a heter of eichol nefesh to do it on yamtiv. Ah, they could have done it before yamtiv. Says the rishonim, no, they couldn't do this before yamtiv, because if Rav Ashi would have had his avadim do this before yamtiv, so then it would just fall off, and then the cracks wouldn't be closed up. So there was a heter of eichol nefesh. Now the significance of this is that you see from all these Rishonim that say this, I believe it's the Ra'ah, the Ran, and others, you see from the Rashba, you see from these Rishonim that they speak this out, that there is a heter of eichol nefesh by mimareach. You see from these Rishonim that the heter of eichol nefesh is not limited to food related malachis. Mimareach is typically done when you're building something, so you're mimareach the bricks, the cement over the bricks. Mimareach is not intrinsically a food related malacha. You see from these Rishonim that eichol nefesh doesn't just apply to food related malachis, it even applies to mimareach, which is significant because there is a Magid Mishnah that seems to learn Bedas the Rambam otherwise. He seems to learn Bedas the Rambam that malachis like kaisev and oireg and other non-food related malachis never have a heter of eichol nefesh because they're intrinsically not food related. And there's no such thing as eichol nefesh on a malacha that's not food related. L'maisa, you see from these rishayim, the way they understand the Gemara, that know that there was a heter for mimareach, obviously, because that's eichol nefesh. For the Rambam, I believe it's the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam says, "What's the pshat? How's the Rambam going to learn our Gemara?" You see, l'maisa, that Rav Ashi had his avadim that they smeared the gaps of the oven with this mud. What happened to mimareach? The Rishonim say that in Echanami there was a heter of eichol nefesh. But lefidus magid mishnah that there is no heter of eichol nefesh by malachis that are not intrinsically food related. So how did Rav Ashi allow his avadim to smear the mud over the gaps of the oven? What about mimareach? So the Chai Adam says that you have to say that this Gemara is talking about in a situation where they didn't really smear the mud into the gaps. They just put it there and it was enough to close it up. And therefore there was no mimareach involved at all in what Rav Ashi was having his avadim do.